Okay, let's open the scriptures. I'm actually going to talk about patience. So we're open up to Romans chapter 5 and talking about patience here. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And it goes through that list of things that one leads onto another. We have these tribulations, which works patience, and then experience, and then hope. And then hope makes us not ashamed. You know, we know we stand on a solid rock for us not to be ashamed because we have that experience, which I said in Siobhan's testimony, she had that experience, and so she didn't have, it led to this point where she's not ashamed. She knows that God lives, and yeah, just a wonderful thing there to receive a new tongue, to experience that, just wonderful. So in this chain of events, patience is vital. You know, it's this vital link in this chain of events. And we have a saying that patience is a virtue, and a virtuous person is very important to the Lord. So to have patience, you know, is just something that we all need as we dwell here on earth. And it starts off with these tribulations, but we glory in tribulations also, with the understanding that those tribulations work patience, experience, hope. And then hope makes not ashamed. And it's a tough thing. Like I've said before, it took me a while to understand that, to glory in tribulations, because you know the result of those tribulations, and which is that hope for us not to be ashamed. And it says, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So we have that assurance as well, because we've got the Holy Ghost. Okay, over to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Saviour Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he is purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. So it's a bit of reading there. But how it comes together, you know, and there's a warning there that he that lacks these things, you know, that list of things again where patience is a vital link, is blind and cannot see afar off. But we give diligence to make our calling and election sure, you know, to have that hope. And so the patience is so important in our walk. And we understand that. That's why we give testimonies, to encourage people to be patient and wait on the Lord. In Luke 21, it says, Jesus says, in your patience possess ye your souls. That's how important Jesus sees patience, you know, to possess your souls, to be sure about your salvation, to be sure that you will be raised up to meet the Lord in the air and have that patience. It is but a blink here on earth, you know, and whereas the Lord, he lives in all time. So, of course, it seems like a mere blink that we are here, but he wants us to have this patience, which is, as I said, that vital link to get to this brotherly kindness and charity and that purity which he desires for us as well. Like we get this picture of the spiritual thing and we ignore the fleshly things if we have this patience. And then it ends in verse 10, for if you do these things, you shall never fall, you know, never fall. And that's our hope, that we never fall, that we stay standing in the things of the Lord. So that's how important it is. You know, Peter opened up his second epistle here with this, you know, that you never fall, that you are solid in your ways. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith. And we have that analogy, you know, the burning away of the dross, like the ore that you get. You burn it and you get rid of the soil and the stuff that's not precious, you know, and then you end up with this precious thing. So that's the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, which I referred to earlier, and that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And I've brought that out before, like there's such a position that we all want to stand in, that we have this peace that we're entire and wanting nothing, thinking, oh, yeah, it'll be better if I had this or if I had that. But we are entire and wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, like if you don't understand this stuff, you think, oh, wait a minute, this doesn't quite make sense. You know, I don't have this mentality. It says, if you lack wisdom, then ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. You know, if you ask that thing of the Lord, he doesn't upbraid you. Yeah, fair enough, when we do things wrong, he upbraids us, but he gives liberally. You know, if you lack wisdom and you want this understanding, you want to know, want this penny to drop, you know, pray to the Lord who upbraids not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave. When I first read that, oh, that was pretty funny. Oh, yeah, that's pretty deep, really, yeah. He that wavereth is like a wave. But that's what the scriptures say. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And I'm sure all of us can look back on our walk and moments where we were double-minded, and you are unstable. It's so disruptive when you're double-minded, but you're certain when you pray to the Lord, you want these things, and you have that patience where you're comfortable waiting and you're entire wanting nothing. Over to Numbers chapter 13. So this is the story of Caleb. We know it well, but it's worth reading it again. It's in the scriptures, Numbers 13, and we'll pick it up. Verse 26, but before that, there were 12 people that were sent into the promised land to search it out, Caleb being one of them, and these 12 people came back with a report, and they said, indeed, it is a good land. It is a land that flows with milk and honey. But in verse 26, it says, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. But, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stood up here and stilled the people before Moses and said, no, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. So we can picture this. And Caleb means bold and impetuous. And here is a great example. You know, there are 10 of them complaining that, oh, no, we can't do it. But Caleb here, he's bold and impetuous, says, no, you know, no, if we trust the Lord, we can possess it. So he's this bold and impetuous person. He has this desire to get in to this promised land. Over to chapter 14 and verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he'll bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. So he's re-establishing there, even though this opposition, you know, Caleb and Joshua stood up, but Caleb was the only one who was referred to earlier. He's that bold and impetuous person. And then from here, the Lord just gets angry with the nation of Israel. And this is where he talks about just destroying them and starting again. You know, this hard-hearted people. But then Moses confronts the Lord. And down in verse 30, it says, doubtless you shall, this is the Lord speaking, doubtless ye, which is the nation of Israel, shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Okay, so imagine Caleb. Like I said, I made a point that he was this bold and impetuous person. And then, I've got to wait 40 years. You know, someone who's bold and impetuous having to wait that long would have been horrible. Just having to wait all this time, knowing he could have had it. He could have had this this possession. And now, because of the hard-heartedness of everyone else around him, he has to wait 40 years. And he has to wander around in the wilderness. I've often thought, I just wonder if he went home to his family, just threw tantrums every now and again. I'm sick of this. Sick of waiting. Wandering in the wilderness. I could be there in Palestine just lapping it up in my own house, you know, farm and everything. Because he's bold and impetuous. Imagine that boldness and that impetuousness never left him that whole 40 years. But we go over to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. And people were led by Joshua to take the land. And so this is the point where it refers to Caleb again. Joshua chapter, what did I say? Joshua 6, did I? Yeah, sorry, Joshua 14. Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. So they've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. They crossed the Jordan and they started conquering this land that flows with milk and honey. And then we get to verse 6. Joshua 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I there when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me when I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. So his patience paid off. He got this patch of land that he wanted. He waited that 45 years and he got it. You know, and what great joy. And if you can imagine, as he lived his life beyond there, and it says there that he was still strong. He's still strong. He could, I guess, still till the land and still work and be part of the community. You imagine from that point, he had this assurance, you know, he had this hope. Yeah, God does promise and his promises are true. And whether he wavered a bit before that, oh man, he did his sums. He was 40. That means I'm going to be 80. You know, am I going to actually be able to take the land? Whether he wavered in his knowledge there, but he was patient. He still followed the Lord and then he was given this thing. And so from there, he had this assurance and he had this strength, you know, and he was an example to the rest of Israel as well that might waver in their faith, you know, and they're, oh, but there's Caleb. He waited 45 years and the Lord gave it to him. So it's a wonderful thing. Luke chapter 2, another couple of characters who waited. Verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So it's an interesting thing here, this devout man that was waiting for the consolation of Israel, this bloke called Simeon, and somehow it was revealed to him through the Holy Ghost that he will not die until he's seen Jesus Christ. And so through that period, he's waiting for this thing. Verse 26, and it was revealed... No, I've read that one. Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marvelled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And he's there referring to Mary watching her eldest son die on the cross, and that sword piercing through her own soul. But as a consequence, the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, what's truly in their hearts. And we see that, you know, when we taught the truth, which is just the scriptures, we find out what's actually in people's hearts. But this bloke, Simeon, he was promised something early on, and we have no idea how long ago that was, that he will not die until he sees Jesus Christ. So he held on to that thing. And then he, what's important here is he knew it when it actually came. I've often thought about this, like patience is so important, as we've read in the scriptures. So in a way, when you're patient, you kind of incubate, you kind of wait. But then when something comes up, you just know. You know, and then, that's when the action happens. And so here, he was waiting and he was patient. But then Jesus comes with his parents and he just knows straight away, you know, there, that's it. Incubation over. You know, this is the promise that came. And same thing with Caleb. You know, he was incubating there for 40 years. And then there was that time of action, you know, to realize this thing. So that can often happen in our lives as well. We pray for something and we kind of wait. And they think, this looks like it might be it. That's when I go into action. And you know that the Lord will bless that. And then we can carry on to another person, verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now, the way I read this, this lady was married and for 7 years, and then after that, she was a widow for 84 years. Now, I'm not sure whether that's right or whether she's 84 now, but anyway, there's been a long time that she's been serving God with fastings and prayers night and day. So if, let's say she got married at 20, she was then a widow at 27, and then she might be 84 now and just serving the Lord with fastings and prayers night and day. So, I mean, that's a long time. There's a lot of patience there, isn't there? And she recognized, you know, this wonderful thing. And then it says there, and she spake of him to all them that looked. She was this great outreaching lady, you know, 84 or 104, whichever number it is. She was not young, but she was out there talking about the things of the kingdom of God, and she waited that time. You know, truly remarkable, the patience that she had. Matthew chapter 25. And so this, the 10 virgins, 5 foolish and 5 wise, is such an important parable as we wait for the coming of the Lord. So Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, you know, he took a while. The bridegroom, took a while to come. They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." So watch, you know, we understand the oil, you know, so that's the prayers, you know, so that's the fuel that lightens the lamp. And so we keep the prayer up, and we keep going to meetings, and we keep, you know, outreaching, witnessing to people. You know, that's how it fires up that lamp as well. It glows, your face glows, and it's such joy. You do the work of the Lord, the things that the Lord wants us to do while we're here waiting. You know, because the bridegroom tarries, you know, and so we're here waiting patiently for the Lord to come back. And so that then we're topped up, because it's just, it's pretty hard hitting what it says there, you know, verse 11. Afterward came also the other virgin saying, "Lord, Lord, open unto us." No, the door's shut. You don't get a second chance. So just watch, watch. I mean, that's just a horrible situation to be in. So let us watch and wait patiently for the coming of the Lord. So it's another aspect of the patience. You know, we're here on earth being patient for the things that we pray for, but we're also here on earth being patient for the coming of Jesus Christ. And so that's why it's just wonderful having meetings, having fellowship, iron sharpening iron to keep us focused on that end goal, and churning through the scriptures, praying, and just building up the spirit. Luke chapter 12 and verse 36. Luke chapter 12 and verse 36. Yeah, okay, another parable. "And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord." So following on from that previous parable We are like men that are waiting for their Lord or the bridegroom to come, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Okay? Watching and waiting and patiently doing it. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make him to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. And so let us stay focused on that. And it's an interesting thing there where, you know, we wait for our Lord being Jesus Christ. And it says there that Jesus Christ himself shall gird himself and make us sit down to food, and he'll come and serve us. You know, it's just bizarre. the Son of the living God will invite us to dine, and he'll serve us. Those that overcame, those that were patient, waiting for the glory of the Lord, which is mind-boggling. It really is. This man that came on earth, this God that came on earth in the form of man, sacrificed, his blood shed, we're washed in the blood of the Lamb, and he'll come and serve, you know, figuratively, spiritually speaking. Isaiah chapter 40, just a great couple of verses here in Isaiah chapter 40, and verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? So here's the Lord just saying to his chosen people, and we're his chosen people, you know, you know, why are you saying that your way is hidden, you know, like that you have no path to follow, and the Lord's left us, and why are you saying that? In verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? So he doesn't get weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He knows everything. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. You know, I love that scripture. And when I was praying this morning, got a bit of a lurgy, and I thought, I was praying to the Lord, well, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. You know, it's just wonderful encouragement there that he gives us strength, and the power, he gives power to the faint. Verse 30, even the youths shall faint and be weary. You know, the strength of a community is in the youth. That's the strength, the energy. But even they will weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Those that wait upon the Lord will have this great strength and a great example. And yeah, figuratively speaking, you'll mount up with wings as eagles. And if you're waiting for something for a long time and then it materializes, wow, what joy, you know? Man, you could fly, couldn't you? You're just so happy. Yes, I've been waiting all this time, and mounted up with wings as eagles. You know, just got that energy. Yes, praise the Lord. Psalm 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. So we have that confidence as well, that the Lord doesn't ignore us. He doesn't block his spiritual ears and saying, blah, 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 not interested. No, he hears our cry. He has our best interests at heart. Last scripture, James chapter 5 and verse 7. The word patient appears a few times in this bit. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. So there's an example. You plant the seed and you wait. You sit back and wait for the precious fruit of the earth to come. Verse 8, be ye also in the same way, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. And it says in Romans 12, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And I've heard some people use that as an excuse. Oh, it's not possible what lies in me to live peaceably with all men. But no, what it's referring to is, like, what lies in you is the kingdom of God. You know, you've got the Holy Spirit lying within you. So you can, as a result, live peaceably with all men. You know, you've got that strength to pray to. And so if you call on that inner Holy Ghost and you pray to that, you can live peaceably with all men. That scripture is not an excuse. It's an example that, yes, what you have is this amazing power. And you can call unto that if you're having trouble living peaceably with all men. So yeah, verse 9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Okay, so it brings up one example there of Job, but also refers to the other prophets. The other prophets speaking in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering, affliction, and patience, you know? And but it says there, behold, we count them happy which endure. You know, if we endure, endurance needs patience, because then it's not endurance. Overcoming needs patience, because then it's not overcoming. So we count them happy which endure, you know, and we all want to be happy. It's good being happy. I don't like being sad. But we want to be happy and comfortable before the Lord. So we have that patience. And it says there, wonderfully it says there, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender mercy. You know, tender mercy. You know, compassionate and loving. You know, he's not a distant God. He'll choreograph things so that you've got that tender mercy and that pitifulness so that you can be happy in your endurance, in your overcoming, as we look to the coming of the Lord. Okay, thank you. I'll hand over to Ian. Thanks.